Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Hey, thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, November 24th. 2023, 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. And yes, it is Ohio State, Michigan week. We have finally come upon it, and there is controversy. There is pressure on this game. We have the sign stealing scandal. We have the coach, head coach of Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, not allowed at the game. We have Ohio State going to Ann Arbor. Two losses would be the turkey if they lose tomorrow. So much going on after the big Thanksgiving holiday. Nobody we could turn to better than a member of our WGH family. He is the superfan, superfan, Sports Illustrated Hall of Fame superfan. What a pleasure it is. I believe en route to Ann Arbor, Buckeye Guy himself. How you doing, Buckeye Guy?
Oh, man, we're heading up that state up north.
Now, how's it out there so far? How's the traffic on Black Friday?
Well, Black Friday is it's a bunch of hustling and bustling going on up here, man.
Now, Buckeye Guy, did you stop off this morning and get my Christmas gift?
I stopped off this morning and made sure I didn't need gas when I was at State Up North, like old Wayne Hayes said.
Well, Buckeye Guy, we have come to... Well, first of all, how was your Thanksgiving?
Outstanding.
Good. Now, here we are... It's game time tomorrow, 12 noon, Ann Arbor, Ohio State coming in with two losses, a sign-stealing scandal, Jim Harbaugh not at the game, but allowed to coach it. How do you see it tomorrow?
Boy, I tell you, it's a must-win for The Ohio State University. I don't care if Jim Harbaugh is in the huddle. I don't care if the whole team's on the team bus. This is a must-win, like you said. Three in a row is a turkey, man. Good God, that hadn't happened in decades, I'm sure.
Now, if he should lose tomorrow, if Ryan Day should lose that game, do you believe his job is in jeopardy?
I can tell you right now that we're coaching for all of our lives. We're coaching for your life, my life, the fan base's life. And so I'll say that for darn sure.
Now, what do you think the score is going to be tomorrow, Buckeye Guy?
Oh, here it is. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be awful cold out there, and we're going to have to run that ball. Our running backs have been running real good here lately. So they got some pretty good guys down here, too. But I need my guy, number six, Mr. McCord. I need our quarterback to come up big in this game. I figure it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I'm looking at 24-17, good guys, Ohio State.
24-17. Now, I believe that Sports Illustrated has picked Michigan to win this. What do you make of that?
You know what, man? Michigan's been playing pretty good, and like you say, the score has not been ideal the last 2 years. Thinking we can come in here and turn that whole thing around.
It's going to be fascinating when you think about it. Now, Buckeye Guy, what is going to hurt Ohio State in this game?
I don't believe anything can hurt them. Here's the good news. The things that can help us, is our running game be on point. The things that can help us would be our quarterback play and our front offensive line. I believe because our defense has been playing lights out. As you know, Scott, the defense has shored itself up. It's rounding into shape. It's not giving up much points. I'm saying the most points that we're giving up in the second half have been 3-10, just like that. Dude, Scott, it's going to be a barn burner.
It's going to be a barn burner. How close are you to Ann Arbor right now?
Not far, man.
Why? So what are the big plans tonight? What does Buckeye Guy do tonight and tomorrow morning before the game?
Okay, first off, I'm heading down to the stadium. I'm doing a dry run, making sure, just like my buddy Joe always says, Joe Emery out of California, he always says, do a dry run because of construction, you know, all kind of block roads, this stadium. I need to know exactly where we're going to that state up north. I want to go right to their stadium first off, see what's going on, get my lay of the land, get my parking spot all paid for, and gosh darn it, go to sleep, get up early, and head back to the stadium.
Buckeye Guy, we cannot wait to talk with you. We're going to be looking for you tomorrow, and hopefully it's cheers after the game and not tears after Ohio State, Michigan tomorrow.
I see what you did there, Scott. It was tears for fears. I got it.
Buckeye Guy on his way to Ann Arbor, Michigan for the biggest game in college sports tomorrow, noon, Ohio State versus Michigan. Buckeye Guy, we will talk on Monday morning and see what happened.
Oh,
thank you, Buckeye Guy.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. One of our dear friends here at the station, Buckeye Guy, joins us. And I'll tell you, if you thought there was any commotion there, here's what went on in the studio during that whole little break there. Number one, as you know, our phones, our landline is not working. Hopefully, we'll be repaired sometime soon. But thanks to Matt, we brought it up on speakerphone there. So that was Buckeye Guy on speakerphone because we had to have him on today. And our dear friend, who we have not had on for so long, so glad he's back. He's Marion's Restaurateur. 91 years at this point of life. Boy, he's lived it. What a pal. In the studio today, looking good as ever. Dapper. Dapper on this day.
Thank
after
you, Scott.
George Kasotis.
God bless you, Scott. You're one of my... You're my all-time favorite radio guy.
Well, thank you, George. I'm so glad you made it in today. Now, this was Marion General Hospital, the building we're in. This was also City Hall. What are your memories of this building?
Many, many memories. My goodness. I go back to the 40s in this building, and 50s and 60s all through. Thank you for introducing me as one of the... Rock on tours, whatever you want to call it. And it was just hard finding your station. I went in the back and I went in the front and I looked all over. I was here at 10 o'clock, but I couldn't find you.
Well, I'm glad you did. Now you know.
Now I know. You got a wonderful, beautiful studio here. Look at this, all these decorations. Beautiful.
Now I want to say two things about George here. Number one, I called him a raconteur. Now, for people who don't understand what that term is, on all the great talk shows, they used to have raconteurs on.
Oh, yes.
And they don't anymore. Everybody's either an actress or a raconteur was somebody who did something very well, but then they also did other things. And George is that. Of course, he's known for his restaurants and being a great raconteur, but he was an actor. He was in the Army. He has done radio. You can't certainly limit him to a politician, ran for office at points.
Oh, yes, yes.
So if that's not a raconteur, I don't know what is.
That is right, Scott. That's the best description you could get for a raconteur. And that's what I've been all my 90-some years in Marion, Ohio. Oh, my goodness. Downtown, South Main Street, starting the first popcorn festival with me and Mike Nicolosi and who else? There was another guy from St. Louis. I don't know if you remember him. Schwarzenegger. But not Arnold. There
not
was
Arnold.
another Schwarzenegger from St. Louis who we started the first popcorn festival. And went to Bucyrus and learned how the Bratwurst Festival got started. And then we learned that from the Bratwurst Festival because they've been on for many, many years. And I've been with Scott Spears ever since he...
Broke in.
Huh?
Broke in.
Yeah, broke in.
Broke in, yeah. More than... Oh,
But it's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful run, Scott, you being here in Marion and, you know, doing a lot of great things for Marion, too. You did a lot. I did a lot, and I want to do some more if I can. I'm going to live to be 100... because I'm going to stick around to pick up the pieces. Everything falls apart. So, I got if everything falls apart, somebody's got to pick up the pieces.
That's right. You know how, George.
And I know how to do it.
Well, now, and the other thing I want to mention, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the air, this is our 10th year on this particular station, and George mentioned the decorations, and I should mention this on the air. The first year we were open, we didn't have any Christmas decorations. We had a tree, but we didn't have any other decorations, and George had just closed up his Cafe George, his last restaurant.
Yeah, no, No, I didn't close it up. I sold it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it certainly could have gone on much longer.
Oh, yes.
And George sold it, and he showed up one day because he saw we didn't have many Christmas decorations, and a lot of these, like that tree, that brown tree over there, that Santa Claus, all came from George Kasotis, these Christmas decorations.
Yeah, I had them at the restaurant, and so I wanted to do something.
This, George, gets more talk than anything else. This came from your restaurant, this tree hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that, when you were here before in this building.
Yes, I was.
There was a couple that came, a guy and a girl, a lady and a gentleman. And I don't know if you remember, we had a great show, but it was in the back of the building. The room was in the back of the building. And then afterwards, I took you out to Dakota Steve House and had a dinner.
Yes.
I treated you to a dinner.
You did. George picked up, and that was not a small bill. Those were some steaks that night.
Yeah, but
the Bob Hope impersonator.
Yeah, the Bob Hope.
Yes, that was it.
Of course, I couldn't think of who it was, Scott.
Yep, Lynn Roberts.
Yeah, that was it.
Yep, Lynn Roberts. Yeah. This guy, who he did a tremendous Bob Hope.
Oh.
Came in to Marion. He was doing my show, and I wanted George to come in and be on the show. George came in, and after the show, we didn't plan on this. George said, well, hey, you know, I'm going to take you guys out for dinner. And we went out and had some of the best steaks, and George at the end picked up the tab. I thought, well.
Yeah, Dakota Steak.
Dakota Steak.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that because that guy was really good. What was his name, Roberts?
Lynn Roberts.
Lynn Roberts.
Lynn Roberts. And they still ask about you.
So they do?
They do. They say, how's the restaurateur doing? Still kicking.
You still communicate
with him. I do. I think he lives out in Arizona.
Right. Now, somewhere near Phoenix or something.
Now, George, I got to ask you. We just had Buckeye Guy on the phone, and tomorrow's the day, Ohio State, Michigan. What's going to happen? The big football game.
Boy, I think Hairball. I don't know. I'm sorry about Mr. Harbaugh if I made you a hairball. But anyway, you're going to fall down, and you're going to cry, and you're going to sleep, and you're going to say, oh, my God, Ohio State is so great. I love them, but they keep defeating. Well, no, they've defeated Ohio State the last two times.
2 years.
But not this year. This year, we've got a great team.
Now, George, because of this, we have to hear about your relationship with Hopalong Cassidy.
Oh, my goodness. I was a friend of John Cooper's, the coach at Ohio State, and he brought some members of the team to Marion, and I fed them. And John always liked the idea. He said he tasted my food, and he said, George, this is the best food I've eaten ever, forever. So he invited me down to the quarterback club, and here I am with Vic Janowitz, Archie Griffith, and Hopalong Cassidy, the three Heisman Trophy winners. I have a big picture, but I made some copies of it, of me and Hoppy and Archie and Vic Janowitz. I don't know if anybody remembers Vic Janowitz.
I remember him, but boy, that's been a while ago.
That was 1950. He was a Heisman Trophy winner.
73 years ago.
73 years ago. Vic Janowitz, I was in a class my first year at Ohio State University. My first class, Vic and I had I was right next to Vic. I became friends with him. And when the auditor of the state came to Marion at Tri Rivers to speak, he brought Vic with him. And Vic came back in the kitchen when I was finishing up the meal to serve. And Vic said, George. And so I was buddies with Vic Janowitz, who was the 1950 Heisman Trophy winner, and then Archie twice, and then Hoppy, who I beat at Marion Harding High School.
That's the story. We want to hear it.
1951, Columbus Central came to Marion. First time a Columbus team ever came to Marion to play football. So we played football with the Columbus Central, and I noticed that he was jumping over his line and moving so unbelievably. I went over and told my coach, we can't do a 6-2-2-1 like you do with Woody Hayes. We need a 5-3. A 5-3, three linebackers. I was the middle, and McLean and Taylor were on the ends. And we did cross-body blocks, and we stopped them. We scored first, so we made a touchdown and an extra point, so the game was 7-0. Almost to the end of the game, Cassidy broke through and scored. He made the touchdown. But then, whether this is unbelievable or not, I don't know, but I told the center to get down on his hands and knees, who was Jack Bull, who Jack just passed away 2 weeks ago, my dear buddy Jack, and I said, I'm going to jump on your back and go up and block that kick. Well, that's what I did. The score is, I have a newspaper front page saying, Harding beats Columbus Central 7-6. I blocked the extra point.
Jumping on a man's back. The Bull.
Yeah, the Bull.
The Bull.
And he raised me up. And at the funeral, when the preacher did the service, I said, Jack raised me up. And he was a strong back. We had the pads on those years, so it didn't hurt him. But anyway, the newspaper came out the next day. Harding beats Columbus Central. They were 9-0 when they came to Marion. If they would have won that game, they would have been the state champions. But I stopped them. I stopped Howard. But when I went down to Ohio State that year, I dressed for football. Cassidy comes up and bangs me and says, "You darn Greek, you beat us."
So he held a little bit of a grudge.
Yeah, well, we became friends after that. We'd go to the baseball game together, and Hop and I became friends. But he was always upset with me because we stopped him.
Now, did you ever encounter Woody Hayes?
Yeah.
What kind of guy was he?
Rough.
Rough man.
Oh, he was a bull in a china shop. He was a bulldozer. Remember when that guy come down to make the touchdown?
Bang! Popped him right under the...
Hit him right underneath the chest and knocked him out.
Yeah, hit him right under the face mask. Got him right. Charlie Bauman was that man's name. Went down in history because of that. Now, of course, we do have Bob Welsh, Matt Morgan, and Sean Kraft here. Got a question for George?
Is that Bob Welsh?
That's Bob Welsh.
I didn't notice you, Bob. I got your book, The Pizza.
All right. Well, I got another one for you.
He's got another book.
I got that book, Bobby. I saw the back of your head, and I didn't realize you were here.
I'm here. I'm behind.
Bob Welch is here. God bless you, buddy.
Yes, Bob, do you have a question for George?
No, we were on together once at the other location.
That is right. That is right. A couple of times we were there together.
And you got a picture of me in a block with a pizza.
That's right. Hopefully you've got that picture somewhere.
Bobby, it's good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you. You're looking very well.
Thank you. At 91.
Yeah. I'm surprised you're not here in a top hat and a cane and everything, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Mr. Peanut style.
I'm tuxedo. Still the old Greek, the old Greek bulldozer.
I was
6'1", 210 pounds, and now I'm like 5'10", and I just made it to 170.
Well, I need to do some shrinking myself.
I've lost so much weight.
But I do have a question.
Now, Bob, is your mic on? Is the switch on?
I don't
on?
Know. I can't tell.
Let's see if that switch is on. Is it on? Up?
It's up.
Okay, you're good.
But I do have a question for you. When you blocked that kick and you jumped over the one player there, were you wearing cleats?
No.
Oh, all right, good. I'd hate to. Good. I no, have cleats in my back
that,
if I'm putting...
That was 1950. That's 70-some years ago.
They still have those... They didn't have the real helmets then. They had the cloth helmets,
we
wasn't it?
We had the cloth.
Yeah, right. The cloth helmets. Think about that, Matt.
No nose guard. I have my... You won't believe this. That year, Fremont Ross... You ever heard of Fremont Ross?
Oh, yeah.
They were terrible. They were big, husky guys. They broke my nose.
Oh.
Fremont Ross broke my nose. Was it Sandusky or another team broke my nose? We didn't have nose guards. We didn't have the nose guards. Just the helmet. I don't know whether it was plastic, naugahyde. I don't think it was leather.
No. Say, but kind of a. You know, I think naugahyde. It might have been. It might have been naugahyde.
You know what naugahyde is?
Oh yeah.
That's what our helmets were, like a cloth.
Yeah.
And so I got a lot of head bruises. That's why I'm a little dizzy.
It served you well, though.
Yeah, I'm still here, buddy. I'm going to stick around, like I told you, to 100.
Now, George, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, You know what? This is the first year ever in my 90-some years that I were never cooked at home. Guess where I went?
Where'd you go?
Steve Dakota's.
Oh, really? Went out to dinner.
Went out for dinner at Steve, because Mike is my buddy. You know, he owns the Dakota Steakhouses. I worked for him for a while, back when I sold my restaurant. But they had a beautiful turkey dinner. They had ham and pork and everything else, but I went for it. And it was they were busy.
I bet that's true. Now, Matt, you love George. You have a question for George this morning?
George, so you were in the military. What branch of the military were you in?
Army. I was in Korea.
How long did you serve?
Well, I was over there for 2.5 years. Got wounded. I have a Purple Heart. I got wounded in Korea in 1952, the colonel that saw this accident, I was blown up in a pontoon, hit a landmine, threw me about 50 yards, 40 or 50 something, threw me, almost. If it wasn't for that colonel, I would have died there. He saved me, sent a helicopter over with a rope ladder, picked me up, took me to a mesh unit, but that wasn't good enough, so they sent me to a hospital in Tokyo. So I was in the hospital for 2 weeks in Tokyo, but they sewed me up, and I'm here, I'm talking to you, so...
I survived. George, I wanted to ask you now, Buckeye guy is on his way to Ann Arbor for tomorrow's game. He gave his official prediction here, 24-17 Michigan. Now, that's the official Buckeye guy prediction. Now, George, at 91, what is your prediction for tomorrow's game?
Buckeye guy is what?
He's on his way to Ann Arbor.
Yeah, but what did he?
He predicted OSU, 24 for OSU, 17 for Michigan.
Yeah, the way you read that, you implied that Michigan was going to win.
Yeah, you said 24-17 Michigan. So, yeah. Michigan had 24.
Oh, everybody's a critic.
You threw us all off.
Everybody's a critic.
We don't want you to get in trouble with the Buckeye guy.
Yeah, boy. You're as bad as Jack Kellogg in here the other morning.
Was Jack here the other morning?
Jack was here Wednesday, yeah.
Oh, Jack. Jack is my old buddy. He used to come to my restaurant, and we had some great times when he was mayor. And I go back to the 40s with this building. With this building was the city hall.
Jack said he worked here as a city councilman.
Yeah, he's a city councilman. Yeah. Jack worked here.
Now, George, what's your prediction? And then I want to ask you about one of our other mayors who I know you're not so fond of from the past. He's long gone away.
Okay, my prediction... I don't think it's going to be it's going to be close. Maybe within 3 points instead of 7.
3 points. So you was it going to be a low scoring or a high scoring game?
Low scoring.
So you will say OSU, what would be your where are you going to put them?
I would say no more than 3-7s or 12.
12? And Michigan, where are you going to put them?
I would say about... what did I say Ohio State?
12. Ohio State would have to be below 12 if you're picking Ohio State to win.
9.
Well, that's, you know, that could happen.
It's going to be a close game. Because both defenses are great and both offenses are great, so... It's going to be a tough game.
Now, before I go back to George and the coffee urn question, I'm going to run down here. You know what I'm going to ask about this coffee urn and a former mayor.
Ireland.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go back to his favorite mayor, Gail Ireland, here in a second. But, Sean, Buckeye guy says 24-17 OSU. George says 12-9 OSU. Who do you think's got the closer pick here? George and Buckeye guy here.
George and Buckeye guy? Probably Buckeye guy.
Buckeye guy? What do you think, Matt?
I think Buckeye guy's score is more accurate, but I think George's point spread is probably more accurate.
Oh, so the point spread for George and the score for Buckeye guy. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I'm going to go along with that as well. I think the score will be closer. I said 27-24. But, you know, I think if it gets into the goal line stand, both teams are going to come up against a very hard wall.
Well, that's what I think. It's going to be a defensive game, so I think Georgia's score might be more accurate here because it might turn into a game of field goals, which very well could happen. Yeah, so I'm going to go. I'm going to say Georgia's score on this. First of all, before we get to Gail Ireland, since we've talked last, we elected a mayor who will be taking office January the 1st, Bill Collins. What do you think of election night?
Well, Glenn, give it a try anyway. What, you know, we talked at the fair, Glenn and you and I talked on the radio at the fair, and we talked about that. At least Glenn gave it a try. Glenn Global is a good, he's a good guy. He's, you know, he knows his finances because he worked with that for many, many years, and he could have kept that record good. But I happen to know Billy since he was a child, because his dad was a policeman, and his dad used to come in my restaurant and have coffee and pastries and whatever. But Bill Collins and I go back so many years. In his young years, he grew up and he became a solid citizen, and he is a great, he'll be a great mayor. Bill Collins.
It's going to be very, very interesting. Now, George, tell us about a mayor of years past, Gail Ireland. Now, first of all, to understand this, he's a bigger gentleman, right?
What do you mean, big?
He's, no, well, was he heavy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So how much do you think the guy weighed? Because this is important.
The guy was 6'2", 6'3", 270, 275.
So he could have been, and this is in the 50s.
Yeah.
So he could have been a linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Linebacker, right.
So tell us what happened. Also made front page news with you and Mayor Gail Ireland.
Why, Scott, you always ask me to do that.
It's a good story.
What is it with you and this Gail Ireland? When was that, in the 50s?
50s, I believe.
Yeah, in the 50s. I was the coffee guy downtown Marion before all these little coffee shops opened up all over the country back in the 40s and the 50s. I ground bean coffee, made grounds out of bean coffee, and made fresh bean coffee, and my exhaust system took it out over the downtown area, clear to right to the corner of Main and Center. You could smell fresh coffee being brewed. And that was my coffee. I got it from a Cleveland company. But the beans, I always ordered beans, and then I would grind them before I made my coffee. So this guy, one morning, I had to need change. I had a counter full of guys drinking coffee. I had to go get change. So I ran up to the bank, and my coffee urn was had the jars. Ireland comes in, the mayor comes in, and he's talking to people, and he goes behind the counter, and he gets a cup, and Maria, who had just finished cleaning one of the urns, I had two urns on one side, she cleaned it, and she had put the cleaning pellets in and cleaned the urn, and it was dark, and he put his coffee up and got urn cleaner instead of coffee. So he sat down and took a gulp, and I come back from the bank, go in the door, and all the guys are saying, the mayor is in your restroom vomiting. And I said, what? He drank that urn cleaner, and he thought it was coffee. So I go back there, and I said, Gail, what the heck is the matter with you? And, and anyway, he's a big guy, right? Now, this is in the 50s. I was at Harding, 6'1", 210 pounds. I pick him up, and I gave him the fireman's carry, arm over, back, on, and I got him on my back. I happened to have my 51 Chevy parked out in front. I threw his butt into the car and took him to the hospital. Dr. Olson was there, Dr. Morton Olson, and I said, Morton, he drank some urn cleaner. He said, George, I'll take care of him. You go back to work. I go back to work. He gets, that day passed, a couple days passed. Election was, this was late October, November. Election is coming up. Guess what? He got beat. A Republican, he was a Democrat, a Republican beat him. And the news, well, a few a week or so later, it comes out in the paper. Ex-Mayor Ireland sues restaurateur, raconteur.
Raconteur.
And I got the newspaper clipping from then. Sues George for $35,000.
Now, tell you, Matt, while George finishes the story, find out what $35,000 in 1950 would be today. Now, finish up with this, George.
Is it 35?
35,000.
Anyway, 35,000, and that's the headlines in the Marion Star. Ex-Mayor Ireland sues George Kasotis restaurateur for $35,000. Why he came up with that number, I don't know. Anyway, I called the coffee company up in Cleveland. They had an attorney who they sent down here when we went to court. He took out a bag right in front of the judge on the judge's table. He took out these square little things. They looked like sugar cubes. They were the urn cleaner. And the attorney put it in his mouth and chewed on it and swallowed it and went, "Aah!" He said, "That's what Gail Ireland ate, and it's harmless. All it does is act as a cathartic. It'll clean your
insides out."
And anyway, the judge hit the gavel. Case dismissed.
And the mayor did not get in. Ex-mayor didn't get anything.
Didn't get a thing.
So, Matt, how much would $35,000 be in today's money?
So, in 1950, $1 was worth the same as $12.48. So I did the math, and that's $436,800.
George, that mayor was suing you for $500,000 in today's money. he was trying to put you out.
Yes, he was trying to put me out of business, I'll tell you.
Mike, so you didn't think much of Gail Ireland after that, did you?
No, neither did the city. The city did. I don't know how he ever got into office because... he was a crook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He just wasn't a good man.
He wasn't a good man.
But he, what was his background that he got mayor? Do you remember what he did?
I don't know. I was so upset. I just wished him, I washed him out of my brain, you know?
What's a good, I understand. That's an awful, now I got to ask you, that election that happened after he drank the coffee cleaner.
The urn cleaner.
The urn cleaner. And then he lost the election. Now, did you vote for him that year? Because you usually support the Democrats.
Yeah, I voted for Gail.
Even after all this hubbub?
No.
Oh, he hadn't sued you yet?
No.
So, but did you?
No, he ran again and lost.
Right. So did you vote for him in that election?
No.
No, he said, this guy is crazy.
I don't remember if he was on council or what before, but I can't remember. It's been too long.
But we've had a lot of wonderful mayors around here. Mayor Schertzer will be departing in January.
Oh, Scott done a great job. Oh, my God. You can't beat Scott Schertzer. And I hope he goes on to become governor someday. I think he would be a good governor.
Well, he's young enough to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Young enough. Yeah. Democrats need somebody in this state at this point.
Oh, yeah. But you can't because we're dominated by Republicans.
We are at this point. We got Mayor Kellogg, who was in here the other day, longest serving mayor in Marion history, 16 years.
Well, him and Scott tied. I mean, they'll tie both for four terms.
When Mayor Schertzer leaves, he will now tie Mayor Kellogg as the longest serving mayor in Marion history. And of course, we've got Ron Malone. Now, he wasn't here very long. Hop, skip, and a jump. Doc Brown. People love Doc Brown.
You don't remember something.
What's that?
Joanne ran against Kellogg.
Oh, that is right. No, I didn't remember that till you just said it, but I do remember it now.
Both heads of their faces on the head and says, "Can Kasotis defeat Kellogg?" The two K's, Kellogg, Kasotis. Joanne ran, she was city treasurer back then. And Joanne ran for, she was city treasurer. And she comes home and she said, "George, I'm running against Kellogg." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "Jack is my friend, and he and his wife comes in my restaurant, and I've donated to his campaign."
Oh.
I said, "You can't run against him." Guess what? She ran against
him. She ran against him. I did. That's true.
Because she's the boss.
Well, you know what? I want to say, now that I remember.
Do you know how long she's been auditor?
Oh, boy.
16 years.
Close to 20. Yeah, I thought so.
She's going on her fifth term now for 20
years. 20
years. And I said, "Joanne, I'm in my 90s. Come on, give me a break." She's tough.
Well, that this is what I wanted to say about that. When Joanne ran against Jet Kellogg, now Jet Kellogg had been he was popular with Democrats. George, her own husband, had given to his campaign. Everybody likes Jet Kellogg, as I said to him the other day. And Joanne came very close to winning that election. Very close.
Oh, it was close.
And Joanne. So when we talk about female candidates and the lack of them, certainly Joanne Kosotis in her day and to this day is a very strong female, and one of the last Democrats now left in office in Marion at this point.
That's right, because even the three Republican commissioners love Joanne's auditor's work. She does that office of hers is right up to date. Can't beat her. In fact, two of the commissioners say Joanne's our auditor.
Well, you know, with all the problems the city's having with their auditors, it's good that the county's got a good auditor.
Well, no, all three. I meant to say all three of the commissioners approve of Joanne.
Who are all Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to be interesting because coming up this year, Kerr Murray has already announced that he's going to run again at 82. He's going to run again for another term. Now, Apifeller, I don't know if he's said publicly if he's going to run again or not.
I hear that he's not.
That's what I hear, too, but I don't know.
Tim Murray is going to run.
Yeah, Kerr Murray's going to run.
Tim Murray.
Oh, Tim Murray. Oh, Tim. Who now, who's Tim Murray?
He's from Caledonia.
Now, is he running against Kerr or Apifeller's seat?
Apifeller.
Jason Schauber is also running, but I'm not sure which seat it is. City Councilman Schauber is also running for commissioner.
Yeah, yeah, Schauber is running.
Yeah.
You want to know the truth? I haven't kept up.
Well, it's just starting at this point.
It's just starting.
Now, who is going? Here's something, George. You're 91 years old and have been in politics. Your wife has been in politics for a very long time, still in politics.
Right.
What do you make? You know, we got Joe Biden, who is 81. We've got Donald Trump, who's 78. All they're too old. What do you think? Are you ever too old?
Never. Never. Those guys, well, all those people are younger than me. And every once in a while, I go downtown at Marcella's. You know, that's a popular restaurant. Have you ever been to, Bob? Have you ever
been to Marcella's? I'm familiar with it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Byrie's downtown.
Yeah. George, Marcella says, she said, George, I'm getting tired. I said, you've only been there since 2008. She bought that restaurant from me in 2008. I've sold that a couple of times over the years, but you know what? People kept coming and say, I want to buy your restaurant, but I don't have the money. I'll pay you monthly. But you know what happens? I don't have the money this month. I'll pay you next month. So I never sold it.
Yeah.
I sold it in 2008 the first time. And yeah. That's what, from 42 to 2008.
Wow.
I don't know. How many years is that? 1942 to 2008.
That'd be 68 years.
Yeah.
The story there, Marcella's there on High Street. My great-great-grandparents owned that lot. They had a log cabin there back in 1860s.
Wonderful.
They owned a log cabin on that corner. You know, back in the 1860s.
That is amazing.
And I wish I had still owned that lot, but they sold it. they sold it for $600.
That building, which has three units where I was in 131, but the first, on the corner of the alley, there were three units, Florence, Kling, Harding. His parents owned that. Amos Kling was one of the money guys back in the 1800s. Amos Kling, he built that unit. And I have a picture of that unit back in the 1800s. And, oh, my goodness, that's one of the oldest buildings in Marion.
Hmm. Now, George, are you going to be able to stay with us through 1 o'clock today?
No.
No, you got to, okay.
Well, I've got a treat to send you home.
Yeah, because we've got something we want you to try here.
Okay.
Yeah, because we've got Bob made a pizza here.
Oh my God! And,
yes,
and you're gonna like it.
But it's a holiday pizza.
Holiday.
Holiday pizza.
Well,
I don't know. You know, I don't even know what it is yet.
Whatever Bob makes, it's always the best.
Well, George,
thank you.
In the last 5 minutes that we have you here, because we are going to top the tree at 12 o'clock today, Bob's got a new WGH star that we're going to put up on the tree. Now, all those years you were in the Follies, great, great singer. What's your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song. Oh, my God. Yeah. Scott, you asked me too fast.
A lot of great ones. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
That's always the number one song. You know that.
Yeah.
Mel Torme? Oh, he wrote that song. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. It's been fine, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been a wonderful, wonderful song. And then people love Noel, the first Noel. They love, there are just so many great Christmas songs.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Oh, that's a great one, because that was for a lot of the service guys, you know, especially Korea, the Korean veterans that lost. We lost about 5,000 over there.
Jingle Bells, all kinds of...
Jingle Bells. There's a lot of great ones.
You know, tomorrow's the big celebration in downtown Marion, lighting the Christmas tree and the Christmas parade.
Is that today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And you know who's going to be hosting the ceremony, lighting the parade?
No.
Me.
You're going to light?
I'm lighting the tree this year.
Well, good for you, Scott.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to have my elves down there, and you know who's going to be? Jack Kellogg.
He's going to be...
He'll be with us. Yep, tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Jack's going to be an elf?
No, well, I don't know about that, but he'll be there. He'll be there tomorrow with
Jack
us.
Jack will be a good elf.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun because the first time they've done it as a ceremony is this year. When the parade's over, I'm going to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Somebody from downtown Marion's going to speak. We have two elves, Matt and Carrington, who are going to sing songs. And then Jack will say Merry Christmas and we'll light the tree.
Wonderful. That sounds great. What time is this going to be?
7 p.m. in Founders Park.
Downtown, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
7 p.m.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there.
I hope you will be. I hope you will. You fit in with that group down there.
Oh, I will.
Yes.
That's my old home. South Main Street.
Absolutely. Oh, and it's decorated beautifully down there. And this tree they brought in from out of town, it's 30 foot tall.
Wow.
It's going to be a thing tomorrow, George.
That's going to be great.
And I should say that the Christmas parade precedes that at 6 p.m., which Santa will be in the parade, and I'll be narrating the parade from the gazebo in front of the courthouse starting at 6 o'clock. So it's all big festivities tomorrow.
Well, great. We need that. We need some festivities downtown. And you're gonna lead it and do a great job, Scott. You always do.
Well, I appreciate that, George. George, before we wrap up here in this particular hour, and I'm so glad you stopped by today. Could you give us a line of a little Christmas song as we wrap up here?
A Christmas song.
Any Christmas song you want.
Oh my God!
Jingle Bells.
You mean the Jingle Bells Rock?
You can give me that one if you want to. Whatever you like.
I don't know. Silent night, holy night, all is well, all is calm. Yon bound virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
George, I love you to death.
Did I do it?
That did well. You did well. And we will be together tomorrow at the Christmas tree lighting. Okay. George Kasotis, we'll be back here in 15 minutes.
Oh, now dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the courser